Hello! Thank you for joining us today on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. The Feast of Tabernacles is a multi-day festival that begins with the Holy Day and ends with the Holy Day known as the Last Great Day. It is during this feast that we especially look towards the Kingdom of God, which will be a government unlike anything man has ever known. The best we can do with any government today is to hope they do right by the people. With the Kingdom of God, there will never be a question if the government will do right by the people, because the Kingdom of God we look forward to is a kingdom where the king rules in righteousness and the princes rule in judgment. There will be no corruption, as can be found today. And in this future time, people will be able to trust their leaders because all stems from righteousness. People will no longer be blinded to the truth, nor will they be deceived by lies and hypocrisy. The Kingdom of God will be a time when good is called good and evil is called evil. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And the man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of waters in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in the weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. People celebrate when the leader is also a good person who cares about the people. But most people probably don't think of leaders today as righteous. Not righteous in the biblical sense compared to the likes of God and Jesus Christ. Yet that is what Isaiah is showing awaits us in the Kingdom of God. Between that future time and now, we find ourselves living our life with the leaders of today in charge for better or worse. Because of the leaders we have today, we are subject to flawed policies based in the wisdom of man and not the wisdom of God. Today we have times of plenty. We also have times of scarcity. With the Kingdom of God, for all who obey God, there will only be times of plenty. Knowing the Kingdom of God is a time of plenty, what do we do with this knowledge today when sometimes we live in times of scarcity? Today, we seek first the Kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing that God will provide for our needs. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the Kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. For all who have questioned government action or had to work through unintended consequences of government policy, we know how bad human government can be when human government is bad. We can find ourselves going from supporting elected officials to finding out these same elected officials have betrayed our trust. We live in a world that is falling apart at the seams. Severe weather linked to climate change, natural disasters, wars, and rumors of wars are only the beginning of troubles on Earth. Recent events have helped us see how fragile the global supply chain is, and should there be any type of major disruption, it seems like a time of incredible trouble will soon follow. We boldly pray, Thy kingdom come. Matthew 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we pray thy kingdom come, we pray for more than just ourselves. We pray for all of humanity who will benefit from God's kingdom. We pray for those who are oppressed, who are in need, who live a marginalized life forgotten by society. We know of the incredible time of bounty and goodness that will come as the result of what God promises through the establishment of his kingdom, and know the benefit will be to all who obey God and live in the kingdom, not just ourselves. When the kingdom of God comes, it will be a kingdom of righteousness. And when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we are praying for righteousness to be in abundance on earth. It's no mistake that we are keeping the Feast of Tabernacles looking forward to the kingdom of God. We can read what God told Moses to say to the children of Israel regarding this feast. Let's read Leviticus chapter 23, beginning with verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which you give unto the Lord. Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it as a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the years. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Today we know that with Jesus Christ as our high priest who died once as an offering for all, the offerings and sacrifices of the Old Testament are no more. We also know that the Feast of Tabernacles was preceded by the annual harvest, meaning this feast was held when there was an abundance of food. During the feast, those who were native-born Israelites were to live in what is translated as a booth, cottage, pavilion, tent, or tabernacle. With the Feast of Tabernacles, we look to the kingdom of God and the time when this kingdom will be established on earth. We know from the recently observed Day of Atonement that this will be a time of peace as Satan and the demons are exiled to the bottomless pit. During the kingdom of God, with Satan and the demons exiled to the bottomless pit, evil will not have any influence over people. By reading the book of Zechariah, we can see divine rulership of the entire world. Based on biblical descriptions, we can also expect changes in the geographic features of the land, with it being described as less hilly and more level. Zechariah 14, verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate, unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's wine presses. Today, throughout the Middle East and Jerusalem, there is instability fed by immediate concern of terrorism and armed conflict. During this future time, there will be no more utter destruction, and Jerusalem will be safely inhabited. Verse 11. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. All who have brought harm to Jerusalem and its people will develop diseases that quickly eat up their body. During this future time, anyone who tries to rebel against the kingdom of God will be met with complete destruction. Verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents, as this plague. During this future time, all will observe the Feast of Tabernacles, and should there be any nations that choose not to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, those nations will suffer drought and disease. Small, defiant nations will suffer drought and disease. Even what we think of today as a superpower nation that does not observe the Feast of Tabernacles will then suffer drought and disease. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Chapter 9 of Zechariah confirms that this future king is Jesus, as Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem right before his crucifixion, and shows that the kingdom of God will stretch from sea to sea, across rivers, and to the ends of the earth. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Amos shows us that in the kingdom of God, all will be restored. The remnant will be returned to Israel, and the land will have bountiful harvests. No more will God allow war and famine to disrupt lives. Amos 9, verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Daniel tells us that God will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. When the kingdom of God is established, it will consume all other kingdoms. The kingdoms of man that have changed the history of this world will be of no consequence to the kingdom of God. Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel saw the kingdom of God in another vision. Daniel 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Mary was told by the angel Gabriel that her son Jesus would be the Son of the Highest and would rule on the throne of David forever with no end to his kingdom. Luke 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Isaiah writes that the kingdom of God will be established in the last days, and all will be subject to it. Because of the establishment of the kingdom of God, people will no longer need to prepare for war, and will instead prepare for a time of plenty, as all seek God and follow his path. Instruments of war will be fashioned into tools of the harvest. Isaiah 2, verse 1. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. When the kingdom of God is established, Micah shows that many will actively seek to be part of the kingdom as they learn about the way of God and prepare for the time of plenty that will come in God's kingdom. Micah 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine, and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Hosea describes a future time when even the animals will be at peace as they feel the land around them has changed from a place of potential danger to a place of peace and safety. With peace and safety extending to all people, people will no longer have doubt about God. When we see the evil in the world of today, there are many reasons why a person could doubt. But during this future kingdom of God, there will no longer be a need to doubt. Peace and safety will abound as there will be an abundance of food. Hosea 2, verse 18. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things on the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, and I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that hath not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. We can read Matthew 25 to understand why when Jesus returns, only some will enter the kingdom of God. Described for us are two distinct types of followers, which Jesus identifies as a sheep who will be part of the kingdom, and others who will not be part of the kingdom, the goats. The difference between the two is how they respond to those who are less fortunate. Those who ignore others in need will not be part of God's kingdom, and those who respond to others in need will be part of God's kingdom. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. With the understanding of the incredible and bountiful kingdom of God, what do we do today? We pray thy kingdom come, knowing that God's kingdom will benefit all who will live. We also know we live in a time when stronger people oppress weaker people. And as we see the evil impacting the lives of others, we intervene in their lives today as we are able. When we see people hungry, we help alleviate their hunger as we are able to help. When we see people lacking physical needs, knowing that God promises to provide for all who seek his kingdom and his righteousness, as we are able, we act through kindness, introducing this concept to others who may not yet know of God. We seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness in all we do, and we cannot use that as an excuse to ignore people in need. We know the kingdom of God is made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, an incredible act of love, an incredible sacrifice that resulted in the forgiveness of our sins so that we can have eternal life and be part of the kingdom of God. We too can lay down our lives for others. What is needed of us in no way compares to what Jesus did for all of mankind. When we lay down our life for the brethren, as it is translated in the King James Version, we are laying down our life for brothers near and far. Not by the cessation of our life, but by sharing with others in need when we have the capacity to share. When we refuse to acknowledge others in need, we do not have the love of God, and unless this is changed, we will be the goats of Matthew 25, which we just read. And in Matthew 25, being a goat is not a good thing. 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? It is when we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles that we especially look forward to the kingdom of God. During this feast and throughout our lives, we are to have love for one another. We show our love by being a living sacrifice, remembering that John showed this, including sharing with others who have need when we have capacity to help. Let's look at John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we have this future-looking desire, seeking first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, never being blinded to people in need. All of us need the kingdom of God to come quickly. All of us need the joy that only the peace of God can bring. What joy would there be to be in God's kingdom, only to find we are all alone? Joy that we have just by ourselves would feel more empty than full. Our joy is made full when we love others as Jesus has loved us. The joy that we have during the Feast of Tabernacles is not a joy of indulgence, but a joy that comes from knowing the kingdom of God will bring a promised rest. The love that we have for others leaves no other person behind as we move forward to the kingdom of God. While looking forward to the kingdom, we cannot ignore the needs of others around us, lest we be found not to have the love of God in us, lest we come up short of entering that promised rest. Each week, as we observe the weekly Sabbath, in a small way, we recognize this future rest of the kingdom of God that will come at the return of Jesus Christ. The rest that remains for the people of God is the kingdom of God. We cannot fall short of entering that rest and must understand we must love our brothers and sisters. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, that they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. As we endeavor to enter the kingdom of God, the promised rest, we can focus on the words of David written in the psalm thousands of years ago. That promised rest will be a time of incredible peace, and David knew that all who love the law of God will have great peace. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We are already understanding this great peace because of the transformation that is already taking place within each of us through the Holy Spirit. Others in the world around us do not understand this great peace because their minds are not yet ready to understand it. Their heart must be first changed. God promises this new heart in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Most do not have this new heart today and are focused on selfish indulgence. People who have gain more, and people without suffer more. The people of this world who are not yet called do not understand the kingdom of God or God's righteousness. They do not understand the here and now, even when it is presented with a veneer of religion. Through the pages of history of the Bible, we know Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. During the kingdom of God, Israel will be unified as a single kingdom with David as the king of Israel under Jesus Christ, who will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ezekiel 37, verse 15. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel of his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. In everything we do, whether during the Feast of Tabernacles or during our lifetimes, we are not to be doing anything in selfish indulgence, but in service to others, looking at the needs of others. And in doing this, we have the mind of Jesus Christ, who purposely lowered himself to be like man so that we could have eternal life. In return, God has given Jesus a place of honor above all others. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we keep this Feast of Tabernacles, we could keep it with a selfish indulgence and risk not even being part of the kingdom of God. Or we can keep this feast as we should keep every day, with an eye seeking first the kingdom of God and never forgetting the needs of our brothers and sisters, and as we have the opportunity to help them with what they need. During this Feast of Tabernacles, we will see how, unlike today, righteousness will permeate everything about the kingdom of God. We will see how the kingdoms and nations of today are kingdoms and nations where even the best of efforts come up short when compared to the righteousness that will permeate the kingdom of God. As we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, we look forward to the kingdom of God, a time of incredible peace that this world has never known, a time of righteousness that this world has never known. Through this Feast of Tabernacles, we know that the phrase, Thy kingdom come, means more than just words of the Bible. And we do pray that the kingdom of God come. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow on the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.